The mass arrival of DC-3s at Oshkosh is officially off. The F-136 engine survives in the U.S. House again. And pilots at Canada's Jazz Air have had enough. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 2nd, 2010. The two sides haven't exactly shaken hands, but it appears both the Experimental Aircraft Association and The Last Time are moving forward with separate agendas to honor the 75th anniversary of the Douglas DC-3 next month. In comments to ANN yesterday, Tom Poberesny, chairman and president of the Experimental Aircraft Association and chairman of Air Venture, confirmed that EAA and thelasttime.org will not be working together. The Last Time had been planning a DC-3 and C-47 reunion weekend at Whiteside County Airport in Illinois, about 143 nautical miles from Oshkosh, Saturday and Sunday, July 24th and 25th. When first publicized last year, the stated intent was to stage at Whiteside on Monday morning, then join in a formation of as many as 40 aircraft for an overflight of Whitman Field and mass arrival at Air Venture. That formation flight will now take place only at Whiteside Airport. Tom is my guest on today's Aero News special feature to explain EAA's perspective. In Washington last week, a defense authorization bill for fiscal 2011, which funds a second engine option for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, passed a vote in the full House of Representatives. The F-136 engine, a competitor to Pratt & Whitney's F-135, is opposed by the Pentagon and the White House. The U.S. Senate's version of the bill does not include the funding. If the final reconciled version of the bill includes the expenditure, President Obama has promised a veto. But he made the same threat last year and then gave in and signed it. Pilots at Canada's Jazz Air have been working without a contract for almost a year, and that contract reflected concessions made in 2004 when Jazz was facing bankruptcy. In the years since, the Airline Pilots Association says Jazz has distributed more than $475 million in profits, while not even keeping pilots abreast of inflation. Now the union says pilots have had enough. ALPA says 90% of the pilots participated in a strike vote, and of them, 99% voted to authorize a strike if needed to get a satisfactory contract agreement. Canadian law requires structured notification of the company management, then a cooling off period. If it comes to a strike, ALPA has provided $5 million in backing for Jazz pilots and their bargaining unit. Up next on ANN, more GA pilots than first thought busted the Obama TFR. Aerospace industries support ADS-B, provided we pay the airlines to install it. And F-16s are headed for use as target drones. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. And then there were three. It turns out that RV-8 on Friday wasn't the only general aviation aircraft to bust the TFR around Chicago while President Obama spent the Memorial Day holiday weekend there. It turns out two Cessna 152s also busted the space. The Chicago Tribune reports that one of the 152s barely encroached on the restricted area Saturday morning and was escorted by a Coast Guard HH-65 Dolphin helicopter to Schaumburg Airport north of the city. The other plane reportedly strayed about 2 miles into the TFR before being greeted by a Dolphin and a couple of F-15s just before 9 Sunday night. That pilot was escorted to Lewis University Airport in Romeoville. Both presumably enjoyed subsequent interviews. But it wasn't just doofuses failing to pay attention that had issues with this TFR. Helicopter ambulance flights are permitted at any time through the area, but they're required to call and notify ATC before departure. The Northwest Herald reports the crew of a Flight for Life helicopter was dispatched to transport a 4-year-old boy who fell from a second-story window, but couldn't get anything but a busy signal. The boy was eventually transported by ground, to a hospital outside the TFR, and then flown from there, fortunately with non-life-threatening injuries. FAA spokeswoman Elizabeth Isham Corey says the agency will be looking into violations by the airplane pilots. Hopefully, someone will look into why the ATC notification line was busy. The Aerospace Industries Association has applauded the release of the FAA's final rule mandating ADS-B out equipage by 2020. The association, which represents aerospace companies, also thinks the taxpayers should pay the airlines part of the cost of getting the equipment installed. AIA President Marion Blakey commented, quote, "Since experts believe full implementation of NextGen will bring enormous economic and environmental benefits to all Americans, we should accelerate those benefits with financial assistance," unquote. AIA is suggesting that the Future of Aviation Advisory Council, a committee formed recently by Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, is an excellent venue to explore innovative funding ideas to accelerate next-gen adoption. The next time you see what looks like an F-16 in flight, it may or may not be manned. The first retired F-16 Falcon arrived at Boeing's Cecil Field facility in Jacksonville, Florida, just over a month ago to begin conversion into a QF-16 aerial drone. Boeing received a $70 million contract from the U.S. Air Force in March for the first phase of the program. Boeing's team includes BAE Systems. Like horses to the glue factory, the F-16s will be converted to practice targets for newly developed weapons and tactics. They will be a higher-performing aircraft than the QF-4 drones they'll replace. The first six conversions will be used as prototypes during development. Up to 126 QF-16 drones in all will be converted beginning in 2014. Still ahead, loose canopy plus pusher prop equals trouble. NASA wants to give away $500,000 this summer. And downwash from an Osprey causes injuries on the ground. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. Here's a classic accident chain. A failed or forgotten cockpit canopy latch resulted in a broken prop, a dead stick landing, a substantially damaged aircraft, and injuries to the pilot and five people on the ground. The pilot told the National Transportation Safety Board that when the canopy of his Cozy 3 popped open at 4,500 feet on May 9th, his headset and several other loose items immediately departed the cockpit. The plane is a pusher, so no surprise here, the damaged prop started shaking the plane, and the pilot began an emergency descent. When the engine completely failed, he decided his best option was a busy five-lane highway within the city limits of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He ended up hitting the rear of one car, some signposts, then wound up nose down in a ditch. The board says none of the injuries, fortunately, were serious. If you've been wondering how government funding would intersect with commercial operations under the Obama administration's new vision for NASA, here's one piece of the puzzle. The FAA has published a request for grant proposals in an effort to beef up the infrastructure that will support commercial spaceflight. The agency says it will consider proposals for technical and environmental studies, construction, improvement, design, and engineering of space transportation infrastructure, and real property to meet the needs of the United States commercial space transportation industry. It hopes to award a total of $500,000 by the end of August, and so has set an application deadline of July 6th. So you're going to need to hurry. Get more details and a link to the program's website in the text version of this story, dated May 30th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, if the sight of an MV-22 tilt rotor makes you run to get a better look, hang on to your hat and stay away from trees. 10 spectators at a Memorial Day military demonstration on Staten Island were injured by flying tree limbs, and others were knocked to the ground by the prop wash of an Osprey landing at about 9 a.m. at Cloves Lake Park. The Wall Street Journal reports 7 of the 10 injured required treatment at a local hospital. The crew reportedly saw what happened and hurried from the aircraft to help the injured. The names of the crew members were not released, but they're attached to the Marine Medium Tilt Rotor Squadron 236 Thunder Chickens, based in New River, North Carolina. An investigation is underway. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, EAA's Tom Poberesny gives us his side of the story in the DC-3 mass arrival controversy. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.